Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the COVID-19 update for Monday, November the 23rd. Dr. Ezekie and I are joined today by Illinois Department of Employment Security Acting Director Kristen Richards and Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul to provide an update on our employment assistance programs. We're going to start today by having Dr. Ezekie kick us off with today's medical update.
Thank you, Governor. Good afternoon, everyone. In the last 24 hours, more than 91,000 COVID-19 tests have been reported for a total of almost 9.8 million tests here in Illinois. Today, we are reporting 8,322 new cases and 47 additional lives lost to COVID-19. This brings the total number of cases in Illinois to 664,620, including 11,552 lives lost. Overnight, in the hospitals across the state, 6,171 individuals were in the hospital with COVID-19. And of those, 1,206 were in the ICU and 635 were on ventilators. Last week, we communicated with hospitals that we wanted to make sure we had a fully accurate picture of how many patients could actually be cared for in hospitals across the state. And to do this, we worked with hospitals to fine-tune just how we're defining hospital availability and hospital capacity to appropriately capture staffing capabilities. As the number of people hospitalized with COVID-19 rises and healthcare workers themselves are unable to come to work, either because they themselves are infected or because they're in quarantine from being exposed, we can't look only at the number of empty beds, but also the ability of the hospital to staff those empty beds. But without doctors or nurses or respiratory therapists or other healthcare workers that can actually care for the patients, it really doesn't matter how many beds you have. So we're therefore defining bed availability as the number of inpatient beds available and not currently in use that a hospital attests can be staffed and ready for patient use within 4 hours. And similarly, hospital capacity is the number of inpatient beds available and currently in use that the hospital attests can be staffed and ready for patient use within 4 hours. Both the availability and the capacity, which we've made clear to hospital now needs to include staffing, are to be reviewed at least daily. Throughout this pandemic, the hospitals have been our great partners and allies. IDPH is currently working with the hospitals, the medical centers, doctors, nurses, and others in the healthcare profession to capture best practices and share them across the board as we continue to battle this pandemic. IDPH just recently hosted a webinar with pulmonary and critical care experts from Rush University Medical Center to share information about mechanical ventilation strategies as it relates to COVID-19 patients. IDPH has hosted many webinars during the response to COVID-19 to share lessons learned and best practices with medical practitioners across the state to ensure that we have the best care for all patients. I want to thank our hospital partners for their continued dedication, for those doctors, nurses, respiratory therapists, all of our healthcare workers who are on the front lines providing direct patient care, but also for those who work behind the scenes so that the hospitals can continue to function during this difficult time, including our food service workers, environmental and sanitation engineers. Let's lessen the burden on all of our hospital team. And we can do this by not spreading infection over this Thanksgiving holiday, by wearing our mask, by watching our distance, by washing our hands, and by getting our flu shots. Thank you for your support. Now I will review our comments in Spanish. Buenas tardes. En las últimas 24 horas, más de 91,000 pruebas de COVID-19 fueron hechas para un total de más de 9.8 millones pruebas en Illinois. Hoy informamos 8,322 casos nuevos y 47 vidas adicionales perdidas por COVID-19. Eso eleva el número total de casos en Illinois a más de 660 mil y más de 11,500 muertes. Desde anoche, 6,171 personas estuvieron en el hospital con COVID-19 y de ellos, 1,206 personas estaban en la unidad de cuidados intensivos y 635 pacientes estaban en ventiladores. La semana pasada, comunicamos con hospitales para tener una idea precisa de cuántos pacientes podrían ser atendidos en los hospitales en todo el estado. Para hacer esto, trabajamos con los hospitales para ajustar cómo estamos definiendo la disponibilidad y la capacidad de los hospitales para capturar adecuadamente las capacidades del personal. A medida que aumenta el número de personas en el hospital con COVID-19 y los trabajadores de salud que no pueden ir a trabajar porque están enfermos o en cuarentena, no solo necesitamos observar el número de camas, sino también la capacidad de trabajadores. Sin médicos, sin enfermas, enfermeras o otros trabajadores de salud que pueden atender a los pacientes en las camas, no importa cuántas camas tengamos. Por eso, estamos definiendo la disponibilidad de camas como la cantidad de camas para pacientes hospitalizados disponibles y no en uso actualmente, que un hospital atestigua que pueden contar con personal y estar listas para el uso para pacientes en 4 horas. Ahora, tanto la disponibilidad como la capacidad, informamos a los hospitales que deben incluir el número de trabajadores. Deben revisarse a menos a diario. IDPH sigue trabajando con hospitales, centros médicos, doctores, enfermeras y otros profesionales de salud para capturar las mejores prácticas y compartirlos por todo el estado. IDPH organizó recientemente un seminario web con expertos en cuidados intensivos y pulmonares del Centro Médico de la Universidad Rush para compartir información sobre las estrategias de ventilación mecánica en relación con COVID-19. Quiero agradecer a todos los doctores, enfermeras y trabajadores de salud que están en primera línea dando atención directa al paciente. También a los que trabajan detrás de escena para que los hospitales puedan continuar funcionando durante este momento difícil. Todos tenemos que hacer nuestra parte para asegurar que los hospitales tengan suficiente personal para dar atención a la gente enferma. Sigan practicando los 3 M's, usando su máscara, mantenga su distancia, lávese las manos y vacune contra la influenza. Muchísimas gracias para su apoyo. And with that, I will turn it over back to you, sir, back to Governor Pritzker. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Dr. Ezike. And I just want to remind all of the reporters that are on today that we sent out a set of slides, which may be helpful to you to follow on with. It's no secret that the nation's current fiscal crisis is much worse than the Great Recession and more severe than anything that we've seen in decades. People are hurting and people need help. And things are getting worse since Republicans in the U.S. Senate decided to postpone a stimulus package that would help restaurants and other small businesses, cities and states, and the unemployed. The financial shockwaves of this virus continue to ripple through the United States and here in Illinois, often causing the most harm to those least able to afford it. In April of this year alone, the Illinois Department of Employment Security processed more claims than it had in the previous 10 Aprils combined. even compared to the other worst economic years of the last two decades, the 2020 recession has seen almost 3.5 times as many regular unemployment claims compared to the first 9 months of either 2008 or 2001 recessions. And it's not even close. Illinois declared a state of emergency for the COVID-19 pandemic on March 9th. Just days later, IDES passed emergency rules to ease certification requirements for applicants. And I signed an executive order to waive the traditional waiting week for recipients, both of which simplified the claims process and allowed the surge of new applicants to start receiving benefits sooner. Nationwide, state agencies that issue unemployment benefits have become the source of overall economic stimulus for millions of Americans. Not their traditional role by any means, but over just 8 months, they're adapting to this new situation in every way possible. IDES has implemented 5 new federal programs. Normally, these types of programs take up to a year each to get going, but because we're in a crisis, they were put together in a manner of just weeks. Remember that IDES has been a rather small agency that had been slowly diminished over the last two decades, with headcount dropping dangerously low from 2012 to 2018. But when the economic crisis came with the pandemic, IDES got to work. The department had to overhaul its website infrastructure, stood up an additional call center with hundreds of new agents, added chatbots and other features to its platforms, and launched a new callback system that entirely transformed the communication process for claimants. As a result, IDES has processed a historic number of claims since March, paying out over $17 billion in benefits to over 1.3 million individuals statewide, more than 16 times the amount of benefits paid in the same period last year. Let me repeat that. That's 16 times the amount of benefits paid in the same period last year. And 2020 isn't over yet. In recent weeks, fewer Illinoisans are claiming regular unemployment benefits. And for some, that's good news because it means that they've gone back into the workforce. But there also are others who are unable to get a job and instead are transitioning into extended pandemic assistance programs. Here's where that leaves us. We now have more Illinoisans claiming pandemic emergency unemployment compensation, the temporary 13-week extension of benefits that Congress passed as part of the CARES Act back in spring, and extended benefits, which Illinois and most other states have provided this year, than at any point in this pandemic. The pandemic unemployment assistance program, yet another one, for the self-employed, plus the federally funded extra 13 weeks of PEUC benefits for eligible regular unemployment claimants, plus the 7 weeks of extended benefits for eligible claimants, all of those programs expire literally the day after Christmas. So unless the Republican Senate gets a stimulus bill moving in December, Republicans will be putting a big lump of coal in the Christmas stockings of a whole lot of American families. I can't overstate the implications of this. Without assistance from Congress, 5 weeks from now, there will be no way to replace these benefits for the hundreds of thousands of Illinoisans impacted by these programs, which have become an essential lifeline for people who lost their jobs due to the pandemic. This is incredibly dire. Illinois is not alone in this. A recent report from public policy think tank called the Century Foundation estimates that 12 million Americans will see their benefits begin to expire next month. That's more than half of people currently receiving benefits nationwide. We have an estimated 4.4 million people in the U.S. who have already maxed out on their unemployment support for this year. So the clock is ticking. without renewed action from Congress, millions of families across the United States will be plunged into far worse economic hardship than they're already facing. And not just in the middle of the holidays, but also in the middle of the worst phase of this pandemic that the nation has yet seen. We will continue to do everything we can at the state level to protect and advocate for our people. But we are extremely limited in our ability to alter unemployment programs, which are operated in partnership with the federal government. Only the federal government can produce the kind of stimulus that we need in order to avoid disaster for many families here. This is another moment that will define our nation. It will be months before we start seeing real economic recovery that comes with distribution of a vaccine to the general public. Spring is an awfully long way off. So call your member of Congress and your senators at 202-224-3121 and let them know you need them to stand up now and help working families across Illinois and across the nation. I'm going to give you that phone number again to call your member of Congress or your senators, 202-224-3121. Thank you. And with that, I'm proud to hand it over to Acting Director of IDES, Kristen Richards, to talk more about what we've been able to do to support Illinoisans throughout this challenging period. Kristen?
Thank you, Governor Pritzker. Thank you, Dr. Ezekie and Attorney General Raul, for the opportunity to join you today. As the governor mentioned, this pandemic is inflicting an unprecedented economic toll on working families across the state. I'm grateful for the opportunity to share some details about IDES's work to support Illinoisans unemployed through no fault of their own. To provide some context, much of the unprecedented claims data that Governor Pritzker shared has been heaped onto an agency already reeling from years of disinvestment. Department headcount has declined by half over the decade, and in the process, we have lost trained personnel in recent years. I am grateful that with the Governor and the General Assembly's support, IDES was approved to add 226 people to our headcount in this fiscal year. But IDES entered the fiscal year already well below our authorized headcount. So meeting this goal remains an uphill battle when confronted with the pandemic. The unprecedented claims surge that the governor described happened on top of a disinvested system. IDES handled more claims during the first 3 weeks of the pandemic than in all of 2019. So far, we've seen over 2 million initial regular UI claims alone during this pandemic. These dramatic numbers do not incorporate the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program, or PUA, which supports hundreds of thousands of Illinoisans that are ineligible for regular benefits. To meet this workload, scaling up staff has been an agency priority. In our call center, we've brought on additional permanent and contractual agents, raising our headcount by around 600%. We also redeployed around 100 staff members to assist with claims maintenance and adjudication, and brought back dozens of highly skilled retirees. IDES is also investing in innovative technology and customer service improvements to support Illinoisans through the claims process. From revised claimant letters to new infographics on our website to expanded call center access, our team is committed to finding new solutions for claimants. I want to spend a little time discussing IDES's call center and the steps we've taken to make the agency more accessible. At the outset of the pandemic, calls to IDES were answered on a randomized basis. With only 100 agents on the line, the volume was simply unmanageable. During our peak week in May, IDES received over 1.8 million incoming calls. That's 3 calls every second. With less than a 2% chance of connecting, claimants would call hundreds of times a day to win the lottery and speak with an agent. The system was unfair and unsustainable, and claimants needed something better. And so, in response, on July 9th, IDES implemented the callback-only model. Instead of calling dozens of times, you give us one call to yourself based on the issue, and an IDES expert will call you back on a first-in, first-out basis. This brings order to the call center. Everyone is guaranteed to speak with an agent. In a sign of progress, we've completed over 1 million callbacks so far. And when it comes to wait times, our numbers are continuing to improve. For example, one of our queues focuses on certification, which is the biweekly process that establishes a claimant's continued eligibility. Certification is how benefits are paid. Our certification queue is now able to help more claimants, which dramatically lowers our outstanding calls. What the callback model also allows us to do is put more real analytics and strategy around how our communications can be improved. For example, instead of waiting for claimants to miss their certification day, we can now be proactive. Claimants now receive an email reminder when it's time to certify. This simple solution has led to fewer missed certifications, and as a result, fewer calls to the agency. Most claimants will receive a call back within 7 to 10 days. There are complex issues in our adjudication process that may require some more patience. But we're happy to say that in many cases, claimants can hear from us, within 1 to 2 weeks or less. Finally, IDES is experiencing fraud in an order of magnitude we've never seen before. As we see in the press, and as I hear from my peers in other states, this is a nationwide issue. This is not unique to Illinois. The good news is we're working closely with our state and federal partners to protect claimants and pursue bad actors. I would like to now introduce Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul to expand on unemployment insurance fraud and share steps you can take to protect your information.
Thank you, Director Richards, and thank you, Governor and Dr. Ezike. I'm pleased to join you all here today to talk about our state's ongoing response to the coronavirus pandemic, which includes addressing the fraud and scams connected to the pandemic. Just as we saw scammers attempt to take advantage of people by way of price gouging on PPE or peddling phony coronavirus treatments, tests, and or cures, we are now seeing widespread fraud aimed at taking advantage of the economic uncertainty the pandemic has caused. Since July, my office has received nearly 850 written consumer complaints and approximately 4,000 calls to our hotlines about unemployment insurance fraud. Unfortunately, I myself can attest that anyone can be targeted by these scammers because I myself received a phony debit card in the mail. If you have received an IDES debit card or a letter approving you to receive unemployment insurance benefits that you did not apply for, it unfortunately likely means that an identity thief applied for benefits using your name and or your social security number. Unfortunately, social security numbers of some people have been obtained by some fraudsters as a result of a number of data breaches over the years. My office is committed to looking into this fraud and helping Illinois residents avoid being victims of identity theft. We have been in contact with the Inspector General's office at the U.S. Department of Labor as we collaborate with them and other law enforcement partners to investigate this matter. These investigations can take time, and people need to act to protect their personal financial information now. Always be vigilant and keep a close eye on your financial account statements and credit reports, and that is extra critical right now. We advise taking the following steps to protect yourself if you think that your personal or financial information has been compromised. And these steps including monitoring your credit report. You can check your credit reports from the three major credit reporting agency, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion for free once per week through April 2021 by visiting annualcreditreport.com. You should consider requesting a fraud alert by contacting one of the free nationwide credit bureaus. this places a flag on your credit reports for 1 year, which means potential credit grantors receive an alert telling them to request additional identification from someone applying for credit using your name. You should also consider placing a freeze on your credit report, which means that potential credit grantors will not be able to see your credit report unless you prove to them that you are who you claim you are and not an identity theft. In order to place a credit freeze, you must contact each of the three credit reporting agencies individually. And we have detailed information as to how to go about that on our Attorney General's website at IllinoisAttorneyGeneral.gov. You should all obtain your free credit reports from annualcreditreport.com. And then after reviewing those, report any unauthorized accounts or inaccurate information to the credit report reporting agencies. It's important to constantly review all financial accounts and make sure there aren't any irregularities that you don't recognize. And consider placing transaction alerts with your bank or financial institutions. Be vigilant for other unusual occurrences, such as receiving other debit or credit cards in the mail that you haven't applied for. And try to change your passwords on your financial accounts frequently. People can find more information on my office's websites, again, IllinoisAttorneyGeneral.gov. And I also encourage to report any such identity theft or breaches to your accounts to the Identity Theft Hotline at 1-866-999-5630. You can contact us there for help and for more information.